still. Good morning, everybody. I am so glad to have everybody with us today. Thank you for coming out to worship with us at Crestview Baptist Church. If you're a visitor or a guest with us for the first time, there are some cards, some visitor cards in the pews. We'd love to have a record of your attendance. So if you'd fill one of those out and drop it in the box as you leave today out there, the offering box, that would be great. We just have a few announcements to get us started for the week. Actually, several announcements. The first one is Preacher Artie has sign-ups for Salvation Army bell ringing. We were called and asked if we would help out on the 17th. And so there's a sign-up sheet for different times for or different shifts for you to come and ring the bell that day. So if you're interested in that in any way, see Artie and he has the sign-up sheet. Today is our shoebox dedication. So if you have a shoebox and we don't have it yet, if you'll let me know when I come down, I'll grab it. We're going to have the kids bring those in a little bit. Breakfast committee. If you're on the breakfast committee, they're going to have a very short meeting right after church today. And talking about breakfast, there are quite a few eggs left over from yesterday. So those are going to be on sale for $1 a dozen if you want to get them when you leave today. Or you can buy 2 dozen for $2. That's a deal, right? Well, I think that was a deal we come up with. But I tried to get them to say if you can buy them $1 a dozen or two for $2.50 to see if anybody would pay that, but I think we'll go for that. But I don't think there are any more announcements except for our Wednesday night service. Don't forget about those. 6:30 Wednesday night. I have the youth and the kids. Artie has Bible study in here. I do want to let you guys know I did take 5 youth yesterday. We went and helped another church pack meals. Their goal was to pack 50,000 meals. And we went yesterday, and I will tell you that I got an email last night, and they didn't meet their goal. They packed 36,000 meals, though, to go to Nicaragua. Plus, they feed some in Charlotte, and it's for servants with a heart. And so they feed people all over the world. So that was a blessing. And I was really excited to see how the kids got into it. Thomas West asked me when we left, he said, "Is this what it's like having a job?" I said, "Well, yes, except for your supervisor would have done come over here and fussed at you for spilling all this rice all over the place." But if your kids came out to that, thank you for that. It was a blessing. But as far as announcements, that's it. We're just going to turn our hearts to God this morning and focus on worshiping the Savior.
Good morning. I hope everyone's doing well today. Just give you an update. Continue to pray for Mandy Mullinax. She's still recovering from COVID. Also, continue to pray for our church and how we deal with different things. And just give you an update. Those of you that don't know, Sanders' brother Stephen had to be taken to the hospital on Tuesday. And so Sandra left and went to Durham. He was unresponsive. They not sure exactly what happened or why, but they do know that his brain went without significant oxygen for a time period. But yesterday, after Sandra had left to come home, she got a text message from her sister-in-law that he opened his eyes and was responding to order, to the commands, and seemed to recognize her. Then again today, he opened his eyes. He was responsive. So continue, and actually trying to take the tube out of his arm or out of his throat. So they had to restrain his arms, but continue to pray for Stephen. Continue to pray for Sandra. She'll give you more of an update, I'm sure, when she comes up. But just remember to pray for them. Continue to pray for all of those. We have several in our church right now that are celebrating. This is going to be a different Christmas for them. They are celebrating their first Christmas without their loved one. So a very different time. So please remember to pray for them. And my family and I will be traveling this next week to go to a wedding in Florida. So pray for us as we travel that we will be safe and that that we will be able to come back and rejoin our church family to worship again. So at this time, if you'd please, yes, ma'am. Pray for Lisa's mom. Lisa's mom and Ginger's mom are going through similar things right now. So continue to pray for both of them. And pray for Lisa and Ginger and their siblings as they are trying to help make decisions and support their fathers and support their mothers as well as their health continues to decline. Okay, so at this time, if you'd please join me in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, we come bow before you. Dear Lord, we lift your name on high right now. Dear Lord, as I look out over this congregation that is gathered together today, and I know that people are joining us online, but dear Lord, we don't have the answers. We can plan, we can try to do things. But dear Lord, you're the one with the answers. As Charles Stanley said this morning, God has a plan. And we may not understand it. We may not even like it. But dear Lord, you're the one that has the plan. You're the one that holds the future in your hands. You're the one that can calm the storms with one word. And dear Lord, we put our faith and trust in you. And we proclaim that this morning, that regardless of what happens, we're going to worship you and we're going to trust you. And dear Lord, we ask that you let everyone that is dealing with things in their life right now, whether it's financial or emotional or physical or mental, that you would allow them to feel your presence right now like they've never felt it before. Because, dear Lord, you're the one that can fix everything. You are the one that is in control. You are the one that sent his son to earth to die so that we could have a relationship with you. Dear Lord, we just want to gather together today to worship you. Dear Lord, we don't want to change you so that it fits what we want. We are asking you to change us so that we fit what you want. Dear Lord, be with us today as we worship you. Everyone here has things that are on their minds that they're concerned about right now, but we ask that just for this short time that you just block those from our memory. Block those from our mind so that we can focus solely on you. Dear Lord, as we go through this service, I ask that you can take control of it. that you move among your people. And that when we leave this place today, that we will be able to say that we have been in the house of God. And dear Lord, we ask all of these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
This is our second week of Advent, the time when we prepare our hearts for the celebration of Christ's coming. I'm going to ask Chad if he would come at this time. And Chad, if you'll come on and light the candle for us. If you'll come on and light the candle. While he's coming, let us look at our wreath. The Advent wreath is made into a circle of evergreen, which remains green all year, and it is symbolic of Christ's never-ending and never-fading love for us. So first, we're going to relight our first candle, the candle of hope. And today, we're going to light our second candle. It, too, is purple, and it is the candle of peace. It is also known as the angels' candles to remind us of the message of peace on earth that the angels proclaimed that glorious day. The promise of peace is not that our lives will always be peaceful, calm, and relaxed, but it is that the Prince of Peace will be with us as we are called to show his presence to those that are sick, hungry, lonely. We want those to have peace. So let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless this Advent candle. Bless the ones here that see its glow. Let us be reminded that this is a time for caring and sharing, a time for smiling and singing, and it's a time for rejoicing in life itself. So may we not focus on ourselves and for our own selfish wounds. Help us not to neglect those around us. Open our eyes, open our hearts to the needs of others that depend on us to brighten, enlighten, and encourage, but to lessen their load of burden. For it is your holy name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing hymn number 88, and we will sing the first and third verses of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Would you stand, please?
Joyful all ye nations round.
Amen. Thank you. And at this time, our children are going to bring in our shoeboxes.
Instead of our children's sermon this morning, we are going to bring in our shoeboxes. Our kids are going to bring them down. We're going to pray over them.
I'm going to talk while the music plays for just a minute, because also there's something else that we want to do while this is going on. Joy and myself both have Christmas ornaments from David and Nancy's ministry that they have, from our student that the youth supports, and we want to hang these on the tree at this time. So do you want to bring yours up, Joy? Just wait right there, guys. We're going to pray over them. All right, so we're going to pray over these, but also, and so the ornaments that we just hang up on top of these shoeboxes, the ornaments are from United Christian Missions. And Joy, before I pray, Joy wanted to say something about.
Not only do the ornaments come from the children that we sponsor through WMU and the youth and children, and we wanted to share this with the church, but I'd also like David and Nancy to come up for just a minute. David and Nancy are involved in another ministry of providing Bibles to recent converts or people in, I believe it's India, and WMU wants to make a donation to purchase Bibles for some of the people that need them in India.
Oh, wow. Thank you. This is unexpected. So what I want to do right now, as I was going to pray over these Bibles, but since David's up here, these boxes. I was going to see if David was up here, if he don't mind praying over with the youth and the kids, with the kids over these boxes, if you don't mind that.
Most Holy God, we thank you so very much for these young people who are giving so that others may experience the joy of Christmas. Lord, we pray that wherever these boxes go, that Lord, the child that receives them will receive a blessing from you. And Lord, we pray that they will realize and recognize that there is a God who loves them. And so, Lord, we pray and ask your blessings upon each and every box. But ask your blessings upon the lives also of the children who are here. And God, as we are all gathered here this morning, we're all your children. Lord, we are so blessed in this country. We have so much. And Lord, we realize that there are so many in this world who have so little. And so, Lord, we pray that for these that receive the boxes, we pray, Lord, for the children that have been sponsored. We pray, dear God, for the people who will now be able to have a Bible. Lord, these seem like small things to us, but they're great because they're in your hands. And so, Lord, now we ask again your blessings upon each and every box that's right here. And we pray, dear God, that the hands that are touched with those lives of man will also receive a blessing. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray.
In December of the year 1849, Hamilton Sears was contemplating the recently concluded Mexican-American War. The ongoing revolution in Europe and the current state of civil unrest between the North and South in the United States. So he wrote this poem based on the angelic message found in Luke chapter 2. So the message in the song, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, it implores us to seek justice for the oppressed and peace for those ravaged by war. And you know what? These words still resonate as loudly today as it did 171 years ago. So people of all nations, we still long for peace on earth, goodwill to men, just as the angels sing that night that Jesus was born. So let us stand and sing the first and fourth verses of page 93, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
I want to warn you that this is going to be a little bit of a different sermon regarding peace. If you notice, the title of the sermon is Peace on Earth. And we're going to look at the scripture in Isaiah and also in Luke that refers to Jesus and his role in bringing peace to earth. But I want us to really look at what is being said in these verses. So to start off with, I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And if you will please stand, and open your Bible to that and stand as I read this. If you don't have your Bible, it is on the screen, so if you'd please stand as I read this. And then after we finish with Isaiah, we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 2 and to verse 14 is where we'll look in Luke. But this is what the prophet Isaiah says. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Then flip over to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 14. What the angels proclaimed when they appeared to the shepherds about the birth of Christ. And it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The King James Version says, "on whom his favor rests." So these are the scriptures that we're going to look at today. So if you please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for what Isaiah wrote so many years ago about the coming Messiah, and what Luke wrote recording what the angel said about his birth. Dear Lord, just speak to us today and bless us today. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This time of year, we see all kinds of things about peace on earth. We watch the movies. We listen to the songs. It talks about peace on earth. And the feeling that we all should have at Christmas time. The feeling that there is goodwill toward everyone. But I want to tell you something. While we should have goodwill toward everyone, the idea of peace on earth, world peace, it's not going to happen. And that's not what was promised with the coming of the Messiah. And you're like, wait a second, Artie, you don't know. I'm going to show you what Scripture says right now. Okay? Prophecies and proclamations of peace. It was prophesied by Isaiah. We've already looked at that. It was prophesied by Isaiah that Jesus would be called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child will be born," and it goes through the list of names, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father," and it ends with Prince of Peace. And then it was proclaimed by the angelic host proclaiming Jesus' birth. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, we've already read that, but it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now here is my question. Did Jesus bring peace? The answer to that is yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, Jesus brought conditional peace. The peace promised is not for every person, but rather for those with whom God is pleased. Look back at the second part of Luke chapter 2, verse 14. "And on peace, on earth, peace among men." Now here's the condition. "With whom he is pleased." This is conditional. Jesus brought peace to those that believe in him. You guys understand that condition? It is in whom he is pleased. Jesus said that those that believed in him, those that trusted him, those that followed him, would experience peace. Jesus brought peace to those who believe in him. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor fearful." Jesus brings a peace that the world cannot explain, the world cannot accept to those that put their trust in Him. Those of you that have grown up in church, you have sang a song when you were young that doesn't get sung much anymore. But there's a part of that song, and it's from Scripture. I have the peace that passes understanding where? Down in my heart. What does that mean, the peace that passes understanding? It means that we can't understand it. We can't explain it. We can't put our fingers on it. We just have it. And the reason that we have that peace is because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's nothing that we have done. We can't earn it. We can't make it. We can't do anything with it. We have it because Christ is in our lives. And we're never alone. So church, when we have to face difficult things in our lives, we have to deal with making decisions for those that raised us. We have to say goodbye to family that we love. We have to face difficult times. He is there with us through it all. And it is Him that gives us that peace. That is something those that don't know Him can ever understand. They say, oh, you're just using it as a crutch. Well, yes, I am. Thank you very much. That's exactly what I'm doing. I am trusting in Him to do for me what I can't do for myself. Yes, I am dependent upon my Savior, upon the Holy Spirit in my life to give me the strength to get day to day. There is nothing wrong with that. Even the world says it takes a village to raise a child. If you can't do it, lean on somebody else. Lean on me. We hear that all the time. Well, that's exactly what the Christian life is. We lean on Jesus to give us what we can't, and that's eternal peace that cannot be explained. It is not for the whole world. It is for those that trust Him. That is what was promised when the angels proclaimed that. Peace on earth and goodwill to men on whom His favor rests. That's what that means. That Jesus was the source of peace. But if you reject that, if you reject Him, God's offer of peace, then you don't have the peace. Jesus brought peace between us and Him. Do you guys realize that we're at war with God? When we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are lost. We are not His. And therefore, our nature and His nature are at battle against each other. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies with we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Paul writes that in Romans. While we were enemies with God, we were reconciled to Him through Jesus. What that means is that God made a way for us to have peace. He made the first steps in making peace between us and Him. And that was through the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, you've all heard it said this way: you know Jesus, you'll know peace. Know Jesus, know peace. And then it also, no, Jesus did not come to bring peace to the world yet. Okay, yet. In fact, Jesus himself said that he came to bring the truth, not peace, and that the truth will be divisive. The truth will be divisive. Matthew 10, 24 through 36 says this, or 34 through 36, sorry, says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemy will be members of his own household." And then John 8, 37. "Therefore Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.'" Those verses of Matthew, they sound a little bit harsh. He says, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword and to set family against family, father against son." That sounds harsh. But I want us to think about it like this. We sang the song last week in the Hanging of the Green service, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine." Well, this past Wednesday we talked about, to be a disciple of Christ, we must be the light. It's not that we are the light ourselves, but it's the Holy Spirit in us that is the light, shining through us. We are like the moon. We reflect the light of the sun. That's what we're supposed to do. But part of the problem with the light is that it shines on all those dark, dingy places that we don't want anybody to see. And when we come in contact with Jesus Christ, we come face to face, we have to acknowledge those areas in our lives. Because Jesus shines a light on those. And we have to deal with those. And so a lot of people choose not to accept the fact that Jesus is who he says he is. And they don't want anybody to talk about Jesus. It's okay to talk about all the other religious leaders, but they don't want us talking about Jesus, because when we talk about Jesus and when we have to come face to face with our issues. Those things that we don't want anybody to talk about. Those come into view because of the light. And it's the light of truth. And sometimes even within families. That happens. But it has to happen for us to be able to get to a point where we want Jesus to help us change those areas. We have to confront those. And the truth is divisive in the fact that if you don't want to acknowledge those areas, you're not going to want to hear the truth. But if somebody is telling you the truth, now in today's vernacular, they call you a hater. I mean, that's what you are. And they label you with all these different phobes or phobics. But that's what Jesus said he came to do. And until we acknowledge all of that, until we deal with all of that, we cannot know peace. But when Jesus returns, he will bring peace to the world. Isaiah 9:7. The very next verse. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with the justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord's armies will accomplish this. When everything is done, and the father looks to his son and said, it's time to go get my children. And he has that final battle with Satan. And Satan finally realizes that he's already been defeated. At that point, we will have peace on earth. We will have world peace. The prophet Isaiah says there will be no bounds to his government and no bounds to his peace. It is unending. Yes, when that little baby was born in the manger, he provided a way for us to have peace. But it's only for those that accept him. Those that reject him will not have peace. And when peace on earth, goodwill to men on whom his favor rests, when all of that comes to fruition, is when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom here on earth. That is when we will know world peace. Going back to knowing Jesus and knowing peace, there's a second part to that saying that says, know Jesus, know peace. Does that mean that we as Christians should stop striving to have peace with others? No, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We as Christians should seek every opportunity to share the love of Christ with everyone we come in contact with so that they would know the peace that we have. I have said it many times, Jesus is the answer to all the world's problems. That is not just being cliche. That is absolutely the God's honest truth. That without Jesus Christ impacting personal lives, there's never going to be a change. There is never going to be an opportunity for peace. We are going to be at war with each other. We're going to, and listen, one of the biggest causes of fighting is what? Fear. It could be as simple as afraid somebody else has got something that you don't have. Or fear of something being different than you. But I'm going to tell you, church, right is right and wrong is wrong, regardless of what is legal. And regardless of what politician says, this is truth. And this is the source of knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is the guidebook to tell us how to live the way that we should live. And this is the instruction book on how to love other people and share Christ with them in our lives. It is only then that we will have peace. Yes, today, the second Sunday of Advent, this is the Sunday of peace. We lit the peace candle. Because Advent is leading up to the birth of Christ. It is the hope that we have in Christ. And it is through Him that we can only know peace. So I challenge you, church. That today, if you don't know peace, if you don't know Jesus Christ and the peace that He can bring to your life, don't leave this place today without knowing that. I don't want you to leave this place thinking that Christmas time is a time of fuzzy feelings. Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is the time that we celebrate God's peace treaty, as you would, with us, where God offered the perfect lamb as a sacrifice to pay for all the sins that we commit, once and for all, in a way that we could stop being His enemies and become His children. Don't leave today without knowing that. Don't leave today without knowing that you're at peace with God. This is your opportunity to do just that.
Would you stand as we sing the first verse of Joy to the World, page 87.
Thank you for being here today. Don't forget those that serve on the breakfast committee, if they can meet right back here in the back immediately following the service. Don't forget Wednesday night. Also, there are 7 of us here from the church that will be going to the Operation or the Samaritan's Purse Distribution Center in Charlotte tomorrow. We're going to be helping pack the shoe boxes and getting them into the containers to ship all over the world. So if you would make sure you pray for us tomorrow, there's 7 of us going, that we would greatly appreciate it. And again, those of you that were in Sunday school, I apologize that the heat wasn't working on the fellowship hall side. We have actually already made a call, and they will be here Tuesday to get that hopefully finally taken care of, and so we won't have to deal with that anymore. But thank you for your patience in getting that taken care of. And at this time, if you would please join me in prayer as we dismiss. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to be in your house today. Dear Lord, I just ask that you just fill us each and everyone that knows you as their personal Savior, that you fill us with your peace so that we would be able to show the world that the only source of peace is knowing you as their Savior. Dear Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for that little baby that was born in the manger. And we thank you for the fact that He grew into the man that taught and lived and gave us the example of what it means to live for you. And thank you for His death and His resurrection so that we may have eternal life, that we may be able to be adopted into your family and be called sons and daughters of God. As we leave this place, dear Lord, just be with us. Allow us to be the lighthouse that you have created us to be so that we may draw people to you. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.